6:30.
We will call the Highway Parks Facilities meeting to order. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we have everyone. Both of our youth and governance here. And first item would be then the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting.
I'm with approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and governance? Opposed? It's moved. Chairman of committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. We have some numerous reports tonight. One is going to be, and I know you received it in your packet, on the Katy Park Youth Fishing Derby in February, if we get cold enough weather, I'm assuming right now. We also have our first look, and I hope everyone had ample time to look at the report on the Katy Park Master Plan. I know I had this before, many people did, but it's very interesting, very informative. We're going to have a review of it this evening. Any other committee members' comments? Youth and governance? Citizens' comments? Any citizens that wish to announce or wish to speak this evening would have 5 minutes. Any citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. So tonight we have Jesse Fink with us to give us a review of our Katy Park Master Plan. And Jesse, I don't know if you want to give us a little information on it before, or
can you give a little background, Dale? Because Chairman, you're familiar with kind of what has been going on
right
in the past year, and
right,
as is Chairman Molinaro. I think Supervisor Green showed up too early on as well. But basically, what happened in the late 2009, early 2010, the county set up what was called the Green Ribbon Committee to take a look at the Katy Park plan and determine what may make sense to develop up there going forward, with a little bit of an environmentally sustainable kind of a lens to look through. And there was people on the Green Ribbon Committee from county board staff, there was county staff, there was some members of the business, local business community, many folks from the local educational community at Gateway, Wilmot High School, Central High School. And basically we sat down and tried to develop a vision for the park. The committee worked on that for about a year, developed a vision, had set up some work groups, there were kind of three main directions of the work groups. There was a work group that focused on recreational activities that could take place in that park, educational activities that would take place in that park, and technological kind of activities that made sense to incorporate in the park. Those work groups were made up of folks from the citizens, there were citizens at large that were involved in that, as well as some of the folks that sat on the Green Ribbon Committee. They came up with a number of nuts and bolts kinds of things that may make sense to include in the park as it gets developed further. We went through a QBS process, a qualifications-based selection process, kind of like an RFP, only for a consultant, in early 2011, interviewed a number of firms that specialize in these kinds of park developments, and we selected JJR. Jesse Fink is here as the representative. She's the project manager for this whole process. Over the course of 2011, JGR's staff went out and did a lot of the nuts and bolts research. They didn't reinvent the wheel. If geotechnical data had already been done from previous studies, we just used that data, updated things where it made sense to update, but basically took advantage of all the work that had been done prior to this, and then pulled together work with the Green Ribbon Committee to develop this master plan. And I turn it over to Jesse to kind of walk us through, as the chairman said, you guys have gotten the packet. But there is quite a bit of information. One of the key things I think to keep in mind is a number of directions that we had given JJR at the outset, and one of them was to develop kind of a modular approach to developing the park. As the committee's aware, we've already got some development of that park that we put in last year. The entrance was constructed. There's some park trails that are constructed in there. It's been opened on a limited basis. But in doing a modular approach, we didn't want to make it sequential so that you had to have, now that we're past having the entrance put in, we didn't want to have so you had to put this much money in first, and then you had to do this, and then you had to do that. They developed a modular approach so you can really, there's identified kind of chunks of things that could be developed in that park. You can kind of, if we develop a partnership with a particular educational institution or a private business that wants to fund a given module, you can kind of do that module and plug it in. And the park kind of just develops as you develop partnerships as you go along. So that's kind of the theme. Then I'll turn it over to Jen.
Great. Actually, Jesse, if I could, before you get started, on the 17th, the next county board meeting, we're also going to have a presentation, correct? I should make sure.
That's what tentatively got planned.
Make sure the board that yep. Yep. We will also have a presentation to the full board on the 17th. And hopefully, you know, with this, at least a recommendation of the committee for that full board, we'll move forward to the county board.
Yep.
So with that, I'll go over what we've been working with on the Green Ribbon Committee for the last 7 months since last May. One of the things that the Green Ribbon Committee gave us to start with is that they had already been working on the vision statement of what the park should be. And it is supposed to be a joint park that not only has a quintessentially happy park in terms of recreation that it's able to offer to the public, but also has this sustainable living focus where you can learn about sustainable practices and environmental practices. I modifications of the master park active recreation. So what would that experience be like? So this is a view of what it might be like to walk along the edge of the lake on a boardwalk that would be appreciated for water recreation access, such as a kayaking, bird watching. Once again, this is our big picnic in the treetops. So what could that possibly look like if you were enjoying the tops of the trees?
Go ahead.
Just through the chair, Gary, on the bottom part of the park, we have Bassett Road coming in. We have some type of thing, the former Highway and Parks Committee, where they're talking about reconfiguring or redesigning that road area at some point in the future. We're looking at down this area, or am I thinking of a different area?
Highway F.
Yeah, you are thinking of the correct area, and yes, there is a future alignment is shown on the plan. She's outlining it right there.
Okay,
so
it is taken into
consideration.
Part of your plan.
Yes, there's very few things that would have to be moved if that were to happen. It would result in a little reconfiguration of the lawn park and the lawn, potentially of this future sports area that could go either way. It could either go for highway construction or for sports expansion.
Second question then is, I think it's very forward-thinking to try to make this energy neutral or perhaps go back on the grid and supply additional power. Have we had any communications either in the past or intended with Wisconsin Energies as to have them be an active partner in this, or are we not that far along yet?
I can touch on that. I'm actually going to have dinner on tomorrow night, which is why I can't be the executive, with a train corporation. And I say that not necessarily because there is anything of real substance that will come out of the discussion. Other than we begin to just point, start talking to potential partners. You know, the concept here is bringing to so many different the trains of the world, the energies, etc. You know, I think what you're looking at here is a park that's going to integrate all of the outdoor recreation, sports recreations, everything that goes along with being a park with what I've said is this underlying, but it's really not underlying at all. It's really kind of a bigger picture of a park of sustainable energies, etc. So this would be a good time to say that the next step here that we've started to work on is what is the operational model of this park, and putting together a subcommittee now that will take a look at conservancy approach or some long-term sustainable operating model that will affect run all of the aspects of the park.
Well, here's my question. If we're going to have a similar presentation at the next county board meeting, is it appropriate at that time to ask Representative W. Energies, would you like to come and see what we're working on so far, what we're doing? Or do we go farther along the line until we have more?
I think I'm going to step in here.
Sure.
You know, we worked on this for 10 years, a little more than 10 years. This is our first presentation as a committee of this master plan. What I want to do as a committee is to hold a meeting or two or three that we go over this master plan before we consider it. I know Chairman Molinaro wants to have a presentation of this at our next county board meeting, but I don't think we're anywhere near making a recommendation of the county board, or none of us have enough knowledge of this presentation to make a recommendation. And also, selfishly, I won't be here, and I've worked on this for 10 years. As I said, so I mean, there's a whole lot to go over here in this report, and I mean, there's a lot of little things that that people don't know. For one thing, we don't own Bassett Park. So including that in this, there's that discussion. And possibly the architecture didn't know that we don't own Bassett Park. I don't know. You know, there's input that's needed. And as you said, have we talked to this person, have we talked to that? I think this committee, as we've done before in the county board process, has to at least digest this a little bit more than this 45-minute representation.
Can I take you back on that?
Yes. think the presentation's fine.
Okay.
You said you wanted a recommendation.
And that's probably a little bit premature. I can understand it. Also, to the point of Supervisor Grady, we are currently talking about how do you begin, as Jesse mentioned, to get the word out to get the information in the right way to some of the potential partners. And I think until we understand how we're going to do that and what at least the semblance of that model is going to look like, an operational model, et cetera, we're going to move a little bit slower than inviting anybody of any potential partnership to a presentation coming up. We're talking about do we roll this out just as a informational, here's where we're at, to the Commonwealth Board of Directors, possibly. Rationale behind that thought process is, without going in and trying to ask for funding and or partners, et cetera, you get a number of like-minded individuals on that very large body who may just react in a certain way, and you get a follow-up call of some sort, or then you may be one-on-one with the ability to approach them. So we're contemplating and discussing actively right now what is the best way to begin to approach potential partners to give them a sense of buy-in early enough concept and planning, and that'll be going forward.
Well, that answers my question. I was just trying to determine how far along are we with this. And basically, the consensus is, let's get our own house in order. Let's make our own set of plans. Then we'll go after more specific details as to partnerships.
Frederick Brookhouse has agreed to chair the subcommittee to begin to look at partnerships, operational models, et cetera.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for Jesse?
Clarify, Mr. Chairman, that for Tuesday night, we'll still plan on bringing it. Is this an informational, or since you're not going to hear, are we still going to bring it to Tuesday?
Well, I think so. I think it's already planned. Yeah. But at the beginning of the meeting, the Chairman Molinaro said he would like a recommendation. I don't see how this committee can give a recommendation, just after this presentation. But a presentation of the county board, I think, would be appropriate.
You're right. Okay.
And then for this committee, if there's no further questions, possibly a little discussion on how you'd like to proceed. I could see that we could spend, as I said, a couple meetings, whether we spend a half hour at the next two or three. Everyone now has seen and heard. I know you've all read this, but to give some thought and to see where we think we should proceed as a committee with recommendations. Some of this is fiscal, that we have to talk about money. I've delighted in the fact that everyone's recommendation that's looked at this has said one of the first things we need to do is to get people in there. I've been pushing for that, and we've been pushing for that, and I know Mr. Rudy is addressing that in this year's budget, getting it open more. Because I think getting it open more and getting people out there and involved is one of the keys for the passion that people have for this type of park. As I said, I'm delighted in those comments. We've got, we've got a meeting. We can have special meetings. We've got a meeting next month if we'd like to, set aside a half hour next month that everyone takes us home and with the next presentation we'll have more knowledge if we'd like to do that.
I'm
in agreement with that.
No, I think that's appropriate. Least agenda a certain amount of time, even our next successive meetings, two or three, whatever it is, we can go through this and more informed, discuss it, reflect upon it, and then just move the whole thing forward. I think it's entirely appropriate.
Any other comments on this?
The only comment is, for some of us who haven't seen it, is it possible maybe getting a tour out there, or well, for what's been done already, so we have a bird's eye view of it. Is that
totally possible? I mean, John can, as long as there's no snow, you can do it anytime you want right now. We have these 4-point-some miles trails, they're in. I've walked every one of them. John's got a ranger that he can ride you around if it's not below zero. And so, yes, we could set up a... It would have to be a daytime... A daytime thing that... We do have a... John, I know, is going to probably report on this tonight. We've got a fishing derby set out there February 4th.
Yeah.
We've got the tent is set... Friday, there's ice. We've got a heated tent set up, and we'll have rangers and things out there. Possibly that day would be a good day for board members if they wanted to come out and tour.
Should be warm enough.
John, you'll have some equipment out there, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it when John does the report, but February 4th would be a perfect day to do that. Yes. Another thing that I'll bring up when we discuss this parkland, but there's an adjacent property that is going to be landlocked, up to 80 acres, that is right up on where it says fuel, crops, right up in there, right? That's gone into bankruptcy. And there's a 20-acre parcel to the south of it that is the access to it. I was at the bankruptcy or the sheriff's sale last week, and there was no bids taken on that land or given on that land. So as a master plan for this, I think this is something that we also are going to want as a committee to look at, because we are looking at a substantial piece of land that could be added to this at a cost comparable to what we initially purchased this land. So that's something also that I think we want to really look at. It's a restorable gravel pit also, but I think as County Board Supervisors looking at this piece of property, combining our thoughts and your thoughts with the DNR property, that we would really be amiss if we didn't look at that, because it's going to be something that for the future could be a not only a great buy, something that is going to go to total waste as a just gravel piece of land. Or
Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify. So we're going to do an informational thing at the county board next week, basically the same one that we did now. And then for the next meeting or two, or however many it takes, I should get with you maybe to clarify what specific things we want to cover at the meeting.
Well, I think what we're going to do, and naturally, you know, Jesse doesn't have to be there. I don't know what the relationship is here with the county or how we're paying for this.
We only have two meetings, so yeah.
Okay.
That's okay.
I think initially, I'm not sure how long each person has had to absorb this. And I think this committee, I'd like to spend some time. So say we, at our next meeting in February, we give it a half hour. And everyone comes up with questions and gets to look it over, and you know, we'll go from there.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, and I wasn't necessarily suggesting we needed a recommendation from the committee for tonight. What I will do to the presentation is let the board know that you will be taking it up, your committee will be taking it up in a couple of meetings going forward, and then certainly if there's any input they'd like to have,
right,
you should pay attention to the agenda and be part of that discussion.
And believe me, we'll come forward quickly. I mean,
We will then, from that this point forward, make sure the committee is updated as to how this operational model is beginning to shape up, as well as the outreach that we're doing to various partners, et cetera, and make sure that we keep everybody in the loop on that.
Wonderful. Well, Jesse, we thank you very much. It's like a beautiful project if we can pull it all together.
I hate to say it, but I'm surprised at the relatively modest price tag when you consider all that is in the proposal, the plan, and the magnitude of the property. It really is not, in my estimation, not terribly out of line.
But I'd like everybody to keep in mind there's another 80 acres that we might be able to.
We did look at that a little bit in the planning process, but didn't spend a whole lot of time.
Well, thank you, Jesse, and if no one has any other questions, we'll move on. No old business on golf, highways, and parks. New business. Update of monthly activities for parks. Mr. Rudy.
First thing I'll start with is Katie Park. Had a cast the flyer for the youth ice fishing derby. We got a couple other things going on that day, as well as the fishing derby. Trail Nature Center, if we have snow, they're going to come up with snowshoes and do demonstrations and rentals for folks. And we do your plan, if there's enough snow, to set tracks for cross-country skiing on the hiking trails that day. And we'll, I think since it's Saturday, we're also just going to open the park on Sunday, so it'll be a weekend of access to the park. Again, it's 16 and under. We sent emails, we emailed a flyer to all the schools west of the eye. We asked them if they would like some flyers to hand out or whichever way they wanted to do it. So far, St. Alphonse, Salem, and Bristol were the only three schools that asked for flyers, but Wilmot said they would put it on their events calendar on their website. So I think we're probably going to get quite a few kids. We had one of the guys from the Green Ribbon Committee, the recreational park, that actually used to head up the 4-H fishing project was really, I know nothing about a fishing derby, so this guy, he's already got volunteers and knows about how, you know, the weighing and the measuring and gore prizes, and has a lot of connections to get donations. So it sounds like it's going to be a good day. And again, we have someone lined up for hot dogs and hot chocolate, a few possessions out there. And again, if there is no snow, and as long as we have enough ice, if you want to come out, we will have utility vehicles there, just dress warm, if you want to go for a ride. So if you can come on out, we will have heat in the tent. So the other thing with KD Park is I attached 2012 West End Park proposed opening. And we looked at May 5th to coincide with the opening of fishing season, and the hours were daily, 7 to 10 p.m., the same as the rest of our parks. And the season, May 5th to November 25th, is timed to the 25th, because that's when I, right around Thanksgiving, is where I typically lay off our long-term seasonals. And I did in the budget request an extra seasonal employee to cover the work at AD Park and other things out there. Again, it's limited activities. It would be just catch and release fishing, hiking, picnicking, kayaking, canoeing, dog walking with a leash, and I did put other suitable events as determined by the Park Commission in case there were requests from this committee that I wasn't aware of. And I, for the time being as well, I also noted activities that wouldn't be allowed, which would be swimming, windsurfing, scuba diving, boating, mountain biking, and camping. And then I just gave a short little paragraph there of the maintenance activities that we would expect to go on out there, would just be the grading of the roadway, parking areas, mowing and maintenance of the trails, mowing the area adjacent to the parking lot, working with the Eagle Scout on the signage, and removal of invasive species. The only thing that I didn't put on here that I would have to do is that we're going to allow canoeing and kayaking in order to launch a boat on a pond in a county park that has to be designated a boat launch. So I just have to put up a sign saying this is a designated boat launch.
Supervisor O'Day?
Why are you eliminating windsurfing?
We really, that's a good question. It's just one we didn't feel that we wanted to get started out there with at this time.
I mean, to me, it falls in with kayaking and canoeing. I would think there'd be a lot of activity in that respect. So the way the lake is laid out.
Yes.
I just want to say that I think that the initial thought was that maybe without some someone to keep an eye on stuff, they have a formal, you know, there's no safety. Everybody's going to be on their own out there. But then, you know, as far as windsurfing goes, I mean, I'm sure everybody in here has gone a shared road and seen that Burhani guy out there when the waves are 10 foot tall and it's 30 degrees out, he's on his wetsuit. So, you know, maybe windsurfing is a, because people do it at their own risk. That may be a viable thing. Maybe something we need to reconsider. Because there is going to be interest, because when we were doing the recreation work group, there was a guy that came from Parkside that was part of the group. That's what they were, the windsurfers. And so there definitely is a local contingent of those folks that are doing that.
Well, John's familiar with them out at Silver Lake Park.
Yeah, right, Silver Lake, yeah, and Lake Andrea.
Yeah, we have a launch there, and they do pay a fee.
Yeah. John, just to follow up on that, what about swimming? Why isn't that included in there?
Well, we don't have a beach or buoys or any of that. We just don't have the facilities in place for it. The standards for a swimming beach in the state of Wisconsin ask for a certain amount of space for changing rooms and washrooms by the amount of swimmers you're going to have in it. We don't have anything, so.
So you would have to have that.
It's a guideline.
There's that.
Won't be a resident.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I was swimming out there this summer. A lot of people were. So I mean, we're not going to arrest people if they jump in that lake. There's plenty of. Yeah. Okay. But we'll just have that on the side. That we don't allow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim worked with his Andrea
that come in provide step work and what they use the money for. So we had some conversation with people who do the books for the Kemper Center.
Okay, John, before we pop to that, this proposed opening for the West End Park, now you said that you were proposing this to the county executive. Has that been approved by the county executive?
Yeah.
It is? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification on something you said earlier. You said you needed to actually post that this was an area for watercraft launch to be able to have it be legitimate. Is that like a state statute or what?
County ordinance. County parks ordinance. Chapter 10.
We have a sign on not a regular dam. It's where we have the sluice that goes through and the steel sheeting to grade that lake where it blew off. And the state made us put a sign that says that that's a dam. If you drive by there, it's, the sign is there. It was crooked. Is it straight now?
Pardon?
The sign was crooked. Is it straight now?
Yep. Yeah. And I see the snow fences ripped down and
okay, so we'll proceed.
Okay. Typically, each year the county gives money to Kemper. They paid in givings. This, I just went back to 2006. $50,000 contribution for capital, and also $100,000 contribution that Kemper can use for operations. So underneath the project description, and in addition to that, the county will sometimes spend money that goes on our books as a fixed asset. So for example, for 2006, the county gave Kemper $50,000 they spent on the Simmons restoration. 2007, gave them another $50,000 for capital. They again spent on Simmons restoration and Anderson track lighting. They have on their books for Kemper, they have it audited and they keep this fund separate with the individual amounts that they spend for all these projects. In a project like the Simmons Restoration in total, I believe the number is about $360,000 that got spent. Part was contributed by us, part was contributed by them. This does not show all the spending that they did in addition to what we provided to them. So you can go down the list. In 2008, again, there was more that was spent on Simmons restoration, air conditioning in the chapel. And in addition, the county gave them $100,000 on top of everything else to be spent for their observatory. I think the total, the tab on that was over $250,000. We gave them $100,000. I know Kemper put in money, Carthage put in money. So that all those numbers are not on here either. Just our contributions to them. 2009, we gave them $50,000 for capital. They spent it on several projects there. And in addition to that, the county paid for the roof restoration on Ambrose Hall for $191,000. So I don't know if you just want to look at this and ask me questions or if it's clear. I understand there's also supposed to be a quarterly report that is coming, so I'll make sure that we get that quarterly and just pass this kind of information along so everyone's updated.
Oh, this is wonderful to have. I can't remember who asked for it. The quarterly report, I think, is something that they've just been negligent on. They used to do it, and it's something that we need to have. So I think they said they were going to, beginning the first quarter here this year?
Yeah.
Any questions?
So this basically is to the improvements on the property at the time. This is the grounds. For example, I don't see any funding here for the damages out of the windstorm.
Okay.
So this is just for the buildings themselves.
Well, the way I understand the deal, the county is still responsible for the grounds, which is in addition to all this.
Right.
And what Kemper spends in addition to here is not on here either, but Kemper, when we give them money, they raise money. Wherever they get it from, it all gets spent on county buildings or county operations or whatever. The only other thing outside is what we have to spend for
Thank you. Yeah. If there's no other questions.
Yeah, just let me know if you guys have any other information.
John, are you?
Okay. The reforestation committee or that the county was putting together, Martin Larson said she'd take the lead on that. And after we discussed that, she thought that maybe we wouldn't really want to call it that. It would be more of a committee that envisions what's going on there in the future as far as what the grounds are going to be used for to start out with. Because you need to determine if they need to leave an area open and not plant it up for future events, and as well as to if they do want their arboretum, have it laid out by possibly a landscaping design service. They thought perhaps one of the students from UW-Madison or someone would take it on as a project. So, but Mark's putting that together, and it will be myself, Mark Larson from UW, Nancy Weatherhead, and we've looked at one of the Master Gardener volunteers that works at Kemper as being on the committee, and I'm sure but anyways, that's moving forward.
You're talking to Kemper?
Pardon?
You're talking to Kemper Center? Or?
I'm talking to Kemper Center.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think you should include someone, whether it be a volunteer, but I do think you need someone. And I've got numerous reasons for saying this. Number one would be students don't have the history of what Kenosha has had as far as the natural plants that grew out there that were possibly historically part of the original landscape design. When you get into students, some of the new things taught, again, aren't historically accurate to what was done. And I think that's a historic site. And that's why I brought this up, you know, last month. So, don't want to talk against new young students, but I think you do need someone with some history of Kenosha, whether it be Mr. Swartz from the Swartz Nursery in Kenosha, out by Parkside, or the Swartz from Silver Lake, that has done a lot of planting in Kenosha. And I'm sure we could get one of those people to volunteer. I really hesitate to get away from the universities, from Carthage, or from the extension, but they don't know the history, they don't know the plant material. What they tend to do right now is to go pie in the sky with new ideas that aren't part of what was actually here. And, you know, I don't want to get involved because I don't want to, you know, be in charge of that and be part of this county board. But I think we need to go, or at least extend our hands out. And I know Swartz of Owl has been very gracious. The Swartz of Kenosha here, I'm sure, would be to get someone that has a little bit more knowledge.
Smith is about 90% done with their work on the dam and the bridge. And if I had to guess, I'd say Rupert Milkey might be 40%. I could go further.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out Wednesday. So, one of the other things too is there's a ski club over at UW Parkside. They call themselves the UW Parkside Community Ski Club, and we actually borrow them. Our snowmobile and groomer for cross country ski trail grooming, and they set tracks every year over on the Parkside cross country track because we don't have the manpower to do it. I called them and spoke with them about the possibility of grooming that little lighted loop that runs down 10 fairway and Pets and up 11 and then back through the woods to 10 deep, and they said they'd love to. So once we get snow, if they can groom, turn the lights back on, set the timers, and people will be able to get out there at night. It's under a half a mile. It's a small loop, but it is something you can get out and do in the evenings. A couple other things I know the chairman knows about this, and that was the missing person over at Silver Lake Park that was found over there. It was in the papers Saturday morning. And the second thing, the Parks and Open Space Plan, we will probably figure out scheduling a public hearing in February for that and possibly have a final plan in March. Let's get public input. And that's all I have.
Well, John, your initiatives, especially on that cross-country ski trail, they're greatly appreciated. I'm sure a lot of people didn't see that. And on that fishing derby, above and beyond, and there's a lot of people going to appreciate that. So we thank you. Any questions for John on his report?
As far as it pertains to the KD and the ice fishing derby, did I understand correctly that the conditions are decent to set trails out there as well for our cross country?
Yeah, we're going to borrow our equipment back and set tracks.
That's great. I think it's a fantastic idea. And I think it really gives people in that geographic area a little bit more opportunity to cross country skiing. I mean, we got it so heavily weighted towards, you know, Parkside and now Pets maybe on what, 10 and 11 on back to the woods.
Yeah.
I think it's great. So I really, again, I'm most pleased to see follow through and seeing the park being open up for all types of activities.
So as a guest?
John, are you going to put something in the newspaper about the ice fishing movie or not?
No, so of course. Put something in the newspaper, a press release for the ice fishing movie.
Jenny,
she did?
I put one together, and I haven't seen it in the paper yet, but she did one. I'm sorry, you said the ice fishing.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Okay.
But we'll do one pretty quick.
Okay.
And again, I've only put out a couple flyers so far. And sent it to the schools, but I will take a few more flyers out to some few of the other bait shops and things, and then have Jenny go ahead and get something in the paper or contact. She always gets a hold of westoftheeye.com and West Ocean, all those folks.
John, what about East of the Eye? Have you contacted any schools, or you don't think they're going to travel that far?
I think to start the event out, they asked for 1,000 flyers at Salem School. I thought maybe just hitting the West End schools, since this is the first annual one, or West of the Eye, not being discriminatory or anything, but just not, you know, they're welcome to come. But I don't know how I'd handle 600 kids.
But what about just email to these school facilities?
What?
An email to these school facilities.
About the skiing?
About the whole fishing derby and everything else.
Kenosha Unified?
Yeah.
Again?
I mean, I'm just saying, we're talking, I hear us talk about exposure, yeah. But yet you're pulling back the rope, you know?
I am a little bit, and I'll tell you why. When you look out there, if we got 3 foot of snow, I'm going to have trouble trying to plow enough parking space for everybody. again, so I'm testing the waters.
Okay.
I'm not trying to hold back, but I am.
It's understandable. Right.
I just want to add to that, too, is I know that Central and Wheatland, so I assume most of the other schools that you sent them to, they just put on their automatic email blast. Mm-hmm. So we got multiple emails of this the next day. So, yeah, like John says, we'll see how it goes, and then if we can get more folks involved and we got the space to accommodate it,
I'd love that. You never know how something's going to turn out until you try it. I want to make sure I can handle it.
Thank you.
Anything else for John? Now we'll move on to, thank you, John, updates of monthly activities for golf.
Dan wasn't able to make it tonight. His wife had an event that he needed to attend with her. There wasn't a lot going on as far as the last, since we had our last September, but a couple things he wanted to make you guys aware of is they're working on, he and Dave are working on all the capital items, both capital projects as well as capital equipment that were part of the 2012 budget, getting all those specs pulled together. Most of that was actually pulled together at the beginning of the year. Getting all that stuff on. The irrigation, he wanted to make sure everybody would be clear, make sure that the only irrigation work that's going to be done this year is on the white berth, so there won't be anything near the red course, any activity taking place there. The goal will hopefully be to get the white berth, all of the 1972 irrigation on that course, pulled out, replaced, and complete all of the cart path work there this summer using the highway department, so that the white birch would be done as far as irrigation goes. As far as irrigation under the ground, there's some heads of it, all the plumbing would be done basically. So that was that, and then as it relates to the two resolutions that the board referred to the committee in December from Supervisor Rose, the goal is to get Dan and staff, Jim, and a number of other folks are working on vetting all those options and bringing a full report to the board in February for, the options for the Red 9, as well as a number of the other issues that were covered in the Carthage report. It's probably going to be a little tight if we try to do that the first week, but that's what they're working to get that stuff pulled together right now. I'll talk with you, Mr. Chairman, if we need to tweak things a little bit. But that's the other big piece that they're working on right now. And the new rates as well would have to be a February adoption.
I think we'll have to have those resolutions on next month's agenda, and the committee can either push them back or act on them.
Okay, so we should have the actual resolutions on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Just to be fair to a supervisor that submitted a resolution. Supervisor Rose will not be upset if we say we're working on this for a month or so, but I think we should put them on our agenda.
So that was it for golf.
And the only question I had, I asked you, but maybe let everyone hear that I asked if our courses were open. I know Milwaukee County was open, and numerous courses were open, but we decided not to.
Yeah, we talked briefly about it, and we just didn't think, again, the weather's good for a few days. It has been great this last weekend. My son went golfing at Twin Lakes.
Right.
People at Bristol Oaks, I believe, Maple Crest, and I know Spring Valley. There was a few courses in Milwaukee County opened up as well. We actually didn't really dive into it, but just initially kind of doing a superficial look at it in terms of firing stuff up, getting a few folks in that are on layoff right now or whatever, even if it's just a couple of folks. We didn't think it was going to be probably worth it in the whole scheme of things. When I was at Twin, I picked up my son yesterday at Twin Lakes. There was probably 25 cars in the lot. But I asked him how many guys were out on the course. It was pretty nice yesterday. There was, I think, four guys he saw on the course when he was out there. Everybody was in the restaurant because they got a nice meal and the football games were on.
Yeah.
So
day before, they had quite a few out on the course.
Did it?
Yeah. Saturday. Milwaukee County itself, not just courses of Milwaukee County. Milwaukee County opened their courses. Oh, they've been open for the last week and a half.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those things, your startup costs, there's not going to be a ton, but there'd be some startup costs. And, then it's supposed to get cold this weekend now, back in the 20s. Then it's supposed to warm up again next week. And so,
right. Here's my thoughts on the setup cost. And I brought this up for a reason. We have fixed cost as far as accounting. I don't anticipate that we would have had a lot of people out there. But when I saw Milwaukee County courses open, they have the same situation that we do. I think you would be doing a service to your season pass holders. We wouldn't make any money. But I'm sure we had guys that saw Milwaukee County's open, and we'll probably hear a little bit about it. But I don't see where it would cost us a cent. And if it did cost us something, then our management isn't doing their job properly. And I'm not saying you. I'm saying the people that are working at our golf courses in management positions. We do have employees at the golf courses, or that work in the golf division. And to fire up that golf course at Brightondale wouldn't require bringing in all our seasonal people.
No.
I mean, if Dan's got to be out there, he could be out there.
Right. Yes.
So I think for people that pay a pass fee, and it's 52 degrees, we get people out. And I don't see it costing us anything. So I didn't check. I wasn't surprised, because I know it's a little bit of a pain in the neck, but I think that's the kind of thing that you do to do something for the taxpayer. So, I mean, I would have appreciated it, and maybe others would. I don't know, Gail, you're a big golfer. What do you think?
She golfed.
I think, basically, I really think that it's a lot of work to open up for. Maybe you're going to get 50, maybe 75 golfers at the most. When you talk about Milwaukee County, I did hear on the radio.
They had 1,400 tee times.
Well, they had, according to the lady who's the head of the parks or whatever, she was on TMJ4 when I heard it on the radio this afternoon. I think they opened 5 courses out of their, I don't know how many courses Milwaukee County has, but I know they have a lot more than 5. And I think they had 1,200 rounds of golf. And that's what she said.
Well, they said 14, but yeah, 12 courses.
Right.
But so, I'm sure they didn't make a lot of money.
Talking about maybe the place to open would have been Petaluma Springs. You know, don't bother with Brightondale, because we seem to think that everybody seems to think that Pets is the place to go, and it's closer to the city. And maybe if we were going to open a course, we could have opened Pets rather than open Brightondale. But that's just my process.
Well, I know it wouldn't be a big moneymaker, but with this stretch of weather, I know how fast the people golf around the
day.
And so, I mean, these guys buy passes for the year. I just thought, you know, you should reward them a little bit.
Well, like I said, I talked to Gary this morning. Long-term forecast, this weekend is supposed to get chilly, but then it's supposed to, right now, next week, it's right back to where it is right now.
There's no snow for 10 days that I've seen. Yeah.
10 days from today?
Yeah.
20% chance is the greatest chance.
What is it?
20% is the highest chance of precipitation in the next 10 days.
That's cool.
Wait till
what's
that? Now, it's such a quick decision you would have to make.
You've got to make it and go for a couple of days.
But I think you actually have to have a plan in place. Not a plan for not just saying, okay, we got some nice weather here. But I think we should have a plan in place that if we run into this type of stretch of weather, that it kicks in. You know, that we get people out and people would know that we'd be open. I don't think Twin Lakes advertised, but they had carts on Saturday running all over that golf.
Word of mouth, travel fast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Milwaukee County did advertise. I think anybody did anything wrong, but maybe we should look at what we do in a situation like this.
Yeah, have a plan.
Seems like it's happening. The polar bears are starving to death. They can't get out on the ice.
These are moving up to where the polar bears are.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah. Anything else on golfing?
No, that was it.
Thank you very much. Gary, monthly activities for highways.
Yeah, I got a couple of items. While I'm passing out this other, I want to talk about a minute. couple of committee meetings ago, there was an inquiry about the double fatal accident on Highway P and 396th Avenue. And at that time, I mentioned that it would be reviewed and discussed at the Traffic Safety Commission meeting, which it was at the December meeting. The Traffic Safety Committee did not find that that particular intersection had any deficiencies. However, they did recommend a couple of enhancements that could be done to the intersection. The recommendations were to stripe the center line to assist motorists to when they stop at the intersection stop sign, that they get more perpendicular to the intersection to improve vision. So we did go out, and because of the weather conditions, it was not conducive to painting, so we used some high-quality centerline tape, very similar to what you see the tape out on Highway 50 here. So we did complete that, and then we also put intersection advanced warning signs in each direction on Highway P. With those signs are 45 mile per hour speed limits, advisory speed limit signs on those intersection warning signs. So those were the recommendations from the committee. That's the action that we took, and that's all been completed.
I have a question. The chairman, Mr. Sampson. Was the speed limit adjusted then? To 45 now?
There's an advisory speed limit of 45. In the meantime, or as time permits, we're going to conduct a full speed study on Highway P and see if there's a difference for reduction.
If you do travel that street, which I do, you notice that taping right away.
Okay.
I mean, I thought, who the heck did this? You know, because, I mean, it brings you where I normally would do.
Right.
It brings you perpendicular, like you said. Yep.
Yeah, and then, of course, in the spring, at the tape, I'm fairly confident we'll make it through the winter. If it is worn out by spring, then we'll make it through the winter.
Oh, it's bright. It's very good right now.
Good.
Is that kind of the same type of an intersection that is on C and Main Station Road?
Very similar.
So, because I come out that way tonight, and I pull at 45 to see it. It's not striped that way, of course, either.
Right.
You can't get on that road without doing that.
Yeah, it has the same type of skew at
the station. See, P and what I call F, I don't know if it's still F there, the same thing. And Gary put a sign, I had requests for one at the post office there in Powers Lake. Because what people don't realize, those roads don't square up. And when you get to the end of P there, I always have to veer to the right to square up.
Yeah.
And two out of three times, some moron will come to your left and get next to you. And I'm thinking, no, I'm going left. I'm just getting square here so I can see. You know, and then you got to wait for that guy. But it's the same type of intersection. Yeah. President Esposito?
Yeah. Gary, I'm dropping that speed limit am I right to conclude that you can only drop a speed limit in 5 mile increments? Is that correct?
I'm only allowed to do it without state approval. If it's anything more than that, I have to have the Wisconsin Department of Transportation approve the speed study.
And my understanding is that even the state doesn't even drop it more than five. It's very rare.
Very rare.
Okay. Thank you.
What I passed out to you is some items in regard to the winter season we're having, and for lack of a better term, I'm just going to call them some fun facts. I'm calling them those. I guess the main reason is because it's still very early in our season here, and things tend to average out over a winter season. But I had calls from every media there is. I get inquiries every day. You know, everybody's asking, what impact does this weather have on our operations? So I put together a few comparisons of the larger ticket items that we have on the for the winter services that we provide. I just compared last year to this year for overtime hours from November 1st to January 9th period last year. Overtime hours were 1,018 this year, same period, 145. That difference of 873 hours has a value based on current overtime cost of about a little over $34,000. Looking at fuel, last year we used 25,420 gallons in that period. This year, 19,059 gallons, 6,361 gallons less. Again, using today's cost, that has a value of a little over $18,000. The big item is salt. Last year, during that time period, 2,896 tons. This year, 424 tons. That difference of 2,472 tons at today's value, a little over $135,000. So, at this point in time, there's some pretty significant savings. We'll see what the rest of the season brings, but. There's been a lot of, like I said, a lot of inquiries, a lot of questions, what impact it's having, and here it is. It's fairly significant at this point in time today, but we'll see at the end of the season what we're actually at. And, the other thing is, from a budgetary standpoint, these do cross two fiscal years, too, so this isn't a direct impact either of our budgets, and don't hold me to all the numbers. It's just something I wanted to at least show or give you a rough idea what impact this weather's having.
Well, Gary, one thing I'd like you to speak on also is what you've been able to accomplish. I know I stopped out and saw some guys out at the highway seabed and stopped and talked to them. They were dropping off brush. And they said, there's not to be any brush left in Kenosha County by the time this winter's over, because they're out brushing. But also, there's some sealing and things that you've been able to accomplish. And I know the fuel costs, some people would say, well, why would the fuel costs not be that much lower? But we're still driving our trucks around. We're doing a lot of work.
Yeah. We, in fact, beginning today, we've sent out two frac sealing crews. Last winter and the winter before, we got a little behind on our crack sealing. We have a regular rotation, for example. When a road is resurfaced with a new asphalt surface, 2 years later, it gets cracked. That's just the time frame that we feel is most appropriate for cracks. And last 2 years, we've not met those goals. So we've got crews out, two crews out starting this week, just sealing cracks on asphalt roads throughout the county. A lot of brushing, tree trimming. We talked a little bit today about even going out and doing some things like shoulder repairs and the type of things we just typically would never even consider doing this time of year. Ditching, we're doing a lot of ditching. The bottom of the ditches still are not frozen to the ground. There's no frost in the ground.
Supervisor Gray.
Not to pull holes in your hand news, but in a situation like this, where basically we have little to no emergent type situations, so why do we even have, say, like 145 hours of overtime?
Well, we have, we've been out numerous times. One pretty significant icing, that was that Sunday before the New Year's. We had some frost, and I think at one, we had like half an inch of snow in it about a week ago. It just raced back on the roads. I mean, there were crashes on the interstate. The whole interstate closed down from half an inch of snow, so... We have enough. It's just not anywhere near to the extent that we have.
So your overtime is a response to basically solve the type of issue,
right?
Thank you.
Gary, are we going to get ahead then on this crack ceiling issue that we've fallen behind? Do you see that happening? We're getting right where we think we need to be?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can get caught up. The only thing that really would prevent us is we do have a limit to the amount of crack filling material that we can purchase. We have about a $20,000 budget to purchase material. It's fairly expensive to purchase because it is oil-based material. But we use a high-quality material that just works fantastic. I mean, it just holds in the cracks really, really well, and I would never recommend going away from the type of material that we use just because of the tremendous success we have. It's fairly costly. So
thank you.
Only limits it to the budgeted amount of material.
Nothing else for Gary? Gary, do you have that?
Nothing more.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to old business facilities. Update. Frank, are you going to do this? To parking structure.
Parking structure, I think, Mr. Chairman, there's not a lot to report. At the last meeting, we had submitted everything to the state as far as a contract to the Hunt. We did the design work for the installation of the gates and the attendant stuff. I got those back from the state in between Christmas and New Year's, assigned them, and then I'm waiting for those final copies to come back, and then we'll sit down with Meet and Punt, I would think, in the next few weeks and start to put together a game plan, a schedule for actually getting the work done, the design and so forth. So we were pretty much right on schedule. I mean, we were a few weeks ahead, but now we're pretty much right on schedule. That's all I can have to say right now.
Brookside?
The demolition of the building is complete. The landscaping still has to be done. Get a rough landscaping, make it presentable for the winter. And in the spring, we'll go bring in the NAV-Flactor and then see. And that part of the project will be done. We still have the alternate for doing the parking lot and the sidewalk that have to be completed next spring.
We're still holding about $20,000 on the base contract and another $50,000 for the parking lot. We should have plenty of money in the bank. The other thing I wanted to add to that was that, as we told you at the last meeting, Mason had an initial determination of the contract on the project that they were in violation of the prevailing wage law. From what we understand, I didn't see it or anything. He mounted, they're not a very sophisticated, they're kind of a family mom and pop type operation. And I don't know, they didn't get an attorney involved, but as we understand it, they just sent a letter back basically saying, no, we didn't do that. And needless to say, the state found them on their final determination that they are, in fact, in violation of the prevailing wage. So I don't know what happens to them now. I know that as far as our work goes, they're still cleared to finish the project in springtime. But what their actual the determination came back that they did find that they didn't put down what their final damages were, because they could be debarred from doing public work. That's one of the potential. But we haven't gotten that information. So that's pretty much where that's at.
So that's Brookside and Corporation Council remodel. We kind of know.
Yeah, that basically at the last meeting, we got the project itself finished up, and we wanted to put together, Supervisor Esposito had requested to put together a time frame or a schedule for getting that cleaned up the rest of the way and getting it ready to get on the market. And to be honest, we haven't had time to pull that together yet. We will have something for the next week, but we didn't get a chance to pull something together for that.
You mean for the old building?
For the old building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Yeah, the core council still operates and everything.
Right. And the KCDC exterior door.
The ramps and everything were repaired. There were drip ledges and what should be added to the existing frames. The replacement doors came in and somebody had was off on the field measurements, so they had to set back to the factory. The doors have been corrected and they're at the shower. It's the contractor good. And the doors are at their shop right now, are being painted, and they're being numbered. And when that's complete, we know to bring them in and paint them. Otherwise, everything else is complete except the doors.
Any questions on any of this? Now we'll move on to new business. Project updates with pictures.
What did you hear this? There's been a number of. Some of those smaller projects, they're pretty neat, so we're trying to take a photo. Maybe Ron walking through some of the plumbing, kind of the before and after what's going on there instead of.
If you look at this photograph right here.
It's in the back.
In the back.
It's in the back.
This is the way the pipe pieces used to look at the DC building. The cleanups are at the back end of this, so every time an inmate plugged up the drain, we had to be able to take a snake in there.
Yeah.
Somebody had to climb on top of the pipes, go to the other end, and then try and clean out the drain.
It's been that way since 82.
Yes. And it's also the cause of numerous workers' comp claims. People fell off of this, got hurt. Fortunately, we never had to try and get anybody out of there when they were hurt. We were able to get some money.
That's a good thing.
And I did a redesign of the pipe, and redesigned it so the pipes were along both sides of the walls. So now when it's necessary to get in there and clear all the drain, you can walk in, you can take
kind of a huge thing because basically the old safety building, you got a cell on this side, cell on the inside, you got this crawl space in between that's probably about 3 feet at the most, 3.5 feet wide. And those, and basically inmates, they're always flushing whatever they can find down the toilet, the food, playing games. And Ron's folks are in there at times on a daily basis, at times on a shift basis, sometimes maybe a weekly basis, in there having to clean up. And so there was, not everybody is as smelt as Ron, so they can't all get through there. It's a very, if you saw it before,
it's because it's been working out.
It was really, and the amount of workers, so you've got it cleaned up now, and it's amazing. Staff, you know, what used to be hours and potential injuries is now minutes to get something straightened out. So it was really, it was a big project that, low profile, but really had a big impact on the operating cost. Then there was, what else you got there? You got
cell tower.
What, the antenna? That one I'll talk about a little bit. We basically got money in the budget this year to do an inventory and analysis, structural analysis of three of the county's antenna towers. The one out on Highway B, the one at this building right behind the shop, and the one on, four. The one at 60th Street, right where the old Hyrie garage used to be, and the leap we got in there for the lattice tower on top of the safety building as well. When we did an initial kind of walkthrough, the one on 60th Street, which is actually probably the most critical tower to the emergency communication system in terms of what goes through that, we were actually looking, IT was in the process of developing some redundancy that was going to require them to put some more equipment up on that tower. We took a look at it, and it has some things that look kind of funny on it. So we had the guys climb that tower as soon as they could get up there, which was December 27th. And we should be getting the structural engineering report on that tower back this week, if all goes as planned. Those two pictures, one taken of the guy while he was up at the top of that tower. Basically, what's going on that tower is if you were to stand at the base of it, if you have a chance, if you drive by and see it, you will see that the tip of that tower kind of cants slightly to the southwest. And the tower itself, I'm trying to remember now, it's 200 plus feet tall. The transition point is at like 250 feet. And that's where this little twist, it's not only bent slightly, it's got a helix kind of configuration to it. So we wanted to find out as soon as possible what exactly is going on there, and what, so that we can make sure we take whatever action, or at least determine what is going to be needed to make sure that thing does what it supports, what it's got on there right now. Because pretty much every public safety agency, from the KFD to the Sheriff's Department, to the city, PD, they have multiple things on that tower. And, the guy was able to climb to the top of it, and he was probably 200 plus pounds, so I think we're not in the immediate danger of it tipping over, but by the same token, there's something going on up there that's not good. We want to get a handle on it as quickly as possible. So we're going to we'll put this on as an agenda item going forward until we get to the bottom of what's going to be needed to get things sorted. But we had money, like I say, in the budget this year to do an analysis on all of the towers.
Right.
Just so we get a handle on stuff. What else did we do?
Corp concert.
Oh, yeah. Just talk about that. That was good.
We had money in the budget last year to update Judge Trader's Corporal. Pretty much nothing been done in there since the late 70s, I believe. The crazy have came in with their dry rotted. You can't see that in the picture here, but they're actually backing up all down in your crazy. You can see through the drainage. We're able to get the, and the, there are some things in here
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Next one is something we are going to add to the agenda going forward. Brookside, they had their annual health and facility survey before Christmas. And they had a new inspector. Evidently, they've had the same couple of inspectors over the years, and they focus on certain things. Well, a new guy came in, and the good news is Brookside got zero issues, zero findings as it relates to the health side of the equation, which is usually where you find problems. They didn't find everything was in perfect condition, not a single site. On the facility side, he found some 13 or 14 sites. Most of those significant ones are things that have existed in the building since the doors were open in 1995, when they first opened. And those are the ones that we are digging through to find out what exactly we're going to have to address and what we've written a number of challenges to those. There's a, it's called independent dispute resolution process. We filed for that and went through that actually last week, where there's kind of an independent examiner. We challenged things. But the bottom line is there's probably going to be some fairly significant things that were wrong with that building from day one that are going to need to be addressed. Don't know the extent yet, so we don't know exactly what the findings are going to be and all this stuff, but I want to make the committee aware of, and the biggest thing, there's two things, and they both relate to the fire condition of the building. I don't think they pose any danger to anybody there. There's, above in the attic, there was some firewall construction that wasn't done quite to code, even the code that were in place back in 95, as well as within the rooms, as I, John sits on that committee. Today you guys heard that too, that in the residence rooms and the hallways, there's a drop ceiling like there is in here. Well, above that, each one of those rooms, though, is completely drywall. There's no code, they're all drywall. So above that drop ceiling, another 18 inches above that, is a drywall ceiling. But that drywall ceiling, none of the seams were ever taped.
It's supposed to be a break in it, yeah.
Right, exactly. None of it was taped, and none of the screws were mud.
Jesus.
It's anywhere throughout the entire building. So.
Labor.
What's that?
A lot of labor.
We're, like I say, I didn't know about it until the exit interview. This happened, I think, the second day of this two-day tour, the inspector, when he was here. And Fran called me in the morning and said, can you come over here for the exit interview? And sure, and then I came, and then once I found out what it was, I called Bernie, because I wanted some legal people there, too. And he's an architect. This guy's an architect, and he's worked for the state now 10 years. I don't know how deep he checked any of the health things, but on the architectural side of it, he checked out stuff that obviously hadn't been looked at ever in any of the 16 previous inspections.
Well, who was the city inspector, who was our builder, and who was our architect there?
C.G. Schmidt was the builder.
Partners in
Rudy Ferraro was the owner's rep.
Yes, yeah.
Architect was a firm out of Racine, if you said the name. They've been out of business for quite a while now. Something
Partners
like
in Design?
1,000 or something like that? No, not Partners in Design.
Well, that's good, that's good.
Architect's 2,000.
Yeah, Rudy Ferraro was our, but the city inspector's responsible for that.
Right, there's, like you say, the architect. I mean, how long did it take to drywall that building?
Well, the architect doesn't inspect, though.
Well,
he draws plans.
Right, but there's still some, there should have been some piece of the management of that on his plate. Not all of it, but there should have been some management to see that it was built to his specs.
And Rudy's.
And Rudy's, clearly, that would be his primary function.
That's why we paid him.
Right, so... Yeah.
But the city inspector, I'd say...
And the city should have been involved.
That's the final guess. You don't have a fire break between walls and an earthquake.
Yeah. So, yeah, how many things that should have bought it didn't? So, we're getting into all of it. The good news is that we've got... We're fortunate in that there's a guy who lives in Brighton that was a retired state inspector for like 10 years, Bill Lazine, Lazine. His mom was in Brookside. She just passed away in spring. And she had, he told, because he was so thrilled with the care his mom received. He said, if you guys ever need anything, don't hesitate to call me. So we called him. This guy's got these things memorized for the past 25 years, all the statutes, all the administrative rules. So he's helping us kind of pull all this stuff together.
We've got the fire breaks. We just, the taping's not done.
Yeah. taken, but actually some of the fire breaks aren't complete because they didn't complete them properly. And some of the penetrations they put with the HVAC ducting that the original ones weren't fireproof correctly where they went. So there's some pretty significantly goofed up stuff. So, like I say, I don't know exactly where it's at yet because we met with, we had that hearing or call conference on Thursday of last week. All kinds of developing. I know that you guys heard about it now.
The Brookside Board did?
We just heard it today.
So now it's public. So is there going to be a problem there?
I know. I got to call C.G. Schmidt tomorrow. I've got to call Rudy Barano. I'm going to try to burn the compound fire into this thing. So we kind of are just doing everything we can to pull everything together and get things, anything that needs to be resolved as quick as we can. These right. bigger things, the ones I described, those are kind of like.
Right.
So is this throughout the entire building, every single wing, or just portions, or what we got?
What we believe right now is it's all 154 rooms and all the hallways.
It's a lot of seating pads.
Yeah. So, that'll be on for the next 2 weeks.
Sure.
The only other thing that I had beyond that was the, we didn't get to get pulled together the safety building energy utilization report for this month, but we'll have it for next month.
That's good. Anything else? So we'll, for our next meeting, we'll spend some time on the Katy Park plan and everything else.
Katy Park plan and the golf thing, we'll monitor. We're going to try, unless it's only 3 weeks until the next meeting, Mr. Chairman. Is there anything we can bump into? Is there a committee that meets? Because it's only 3 weeks because this one, the way the calendar fell,
right.
It's only 3 weeks until the next meeting. Is there a way we should bump it back to that next?
Bump what?
Our next meeting back to this, like the second weekend of February, just so we can get some of this stuff pulled together. I don't know if there's another committee that meets on the second Monday of the month.
Which golf thing?
The golf
analysis.
Oh, okay. So you want more time?
Yes. I think if we get it 4 weeks, I think it'll definitely help us out.
I don't know. Does that affect any?
Does anybody own anything else?
Not me personally.
I don't think so.
Not me.
Not on a Monday.
Not on Monday.
No. So there's no other, like on the second Monday of the month that it's
no.
Okay.
That,
if we could, then I'd like to that, propose that.
Good. That's
it's
good.
Okay.
Good with you too?
So that means you may have two meetings in rapid succession if we're looking at Katy, we're looking at the properties we just spoke about, and then we still got golf rates.
Right.
So we'll have something then right at the end of February, probably. I don't know. It's your call.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. But the only other thing, for our meeting next Tuesday, we had a couple items here. Some of it's just basic, but a couple big items, naturally, the Katy Park. Mr. Sipsma's report, pretty important, and there was one other item. I think those are the courthouse update. Gail, I saw you taking good notes. Would there be someone that could give an update to the county board? I won't be here.
I'd be happy to.
Okay, great. Because Gary's numbers there, I think, are kind of good for everybody to hear.
Excuse me.
Otherwise, anything else from anyone? That will for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make such a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chief of Governance, thank you all very much.